Hey, from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, a show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Grumble.
Hey, John, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know what I just realized?
Did you just realize? You just had a revelation
right now.
Just right after we started the podcast.
Like a eureka moment.
Oh,
Like that whole ramble we do at the beginning when I
yes.
take from New Jersey. We can do it now without looking at our notes and we don't stumble as much.
No, and we don't screw it up the way we used to.
Right?
It's like we used to have to consistently do a second take or so.
Right. We stumbled and fumbled and now we just do it. It's just in our DNA now. It's just like we just do it like off the rip.
After a year, we have internalized it. It used to be like we would say, Tate for New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics how would I get it wrong? I always stumbled. I said something besides nerd out.
Yeah, you said nerd out about, and then you there was something else you said.
Yeah.
It was
I can't even remember how I got it wrong
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we don't even know how we got here, but we're here, people.
Yeah, that's how good we are now.
Damn straight.
We are on a roll.
Yes. Basically, we're amazing. That's all we're trying to say.
That is the main point.
Yes.
of this rambling preamble here.
Yes. And and so we're here to talk about the latest episode of SNL that came out last night.
Yeah, SNL season 45, episode 3 from October 12th, 2019, with David Harbour hosting and Camila Cabello musical guesting.
Yes. Harbour and Cabello together again.
Yes, they go back so far.
I know, my God. Remember back in the days, back when they toured these United States.
When they came up together as young, hungry entertainers.
Yes, in the Groundlings. I don't even know. I'm just making
how stuff up. How old is Camila Cabello? I don't even know.
I don't know.
She looks she's very young, like she's possibly in her teens or early 20s or something.
I think she's of age. What are you getting at?
No, I'm just curious. What the hell, man? Why do you got to go there?
It's funny.
Okay.
I keyed.
All right.
I'll look it up, but...
I was just curious.
So, wait. All right, I'll look it up. But yeah, okay. And we had David Harbour as a host, and... I don't know, like, I mean, I know David Harbour, you know, is a character actor. We all know from Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed, like, pretty apt in doing both comedy and drama, so...
Yeah.
Like, when I heard he got this gig, I was like, yeah,
it's a good choice for a host.
Yeah, interesting to see how he does. And, like, sure enough, he did pretty well, I think.
Mm, spoilers.
Oh, sorry. That's what we call in the biz a teaser.
Oh, well, this is our first 5-minute episode, so he did pretty good.
Yeah.
That's it for this week.
Camila Cabello is 22.
Oh, okay. All right. So, on the young side.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, boy.
No, I just figured, like, because I saw, like, lots of people on Twitter going nuts for her, so I was like, oh, she's, like, the latest teen pop princess.
She's like thing. She's like the new Tiffany.
She seemed like somebody the young people are really into.
She's like the new Debbie Gibson.
She's
a new teen sensation, a sweeping the nation.
Her cultural references, God.
What? I like the fact that we use old school cultural references. Like anybody,
we always stretch back like 30 years for any of our cultural references.
This gal's the new Twiggy.
He's another Ricky Nelson, that one.
That has a haircut you can set your watch to.
But anyway, should we get into the show?
Let's get into the show.
We started out with a cold open, with the equality town hall that the Democratic candidates did this week.
CNN town hall.
Yes, and we had Billy Porter in there for some reason.
Basically it had Anderson Cooper played by Alex Moffat, mm-hmm. and because it's the equality thing, they want to go all out for this, so they had Billy Porter come out and sort of, you know, announce the candidates as they came in, like he does in Pose on his FX show.
Oh, okay. That's a thing he does on Pose.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't watched Pose, but I'm assuming that's kind of the thing he does. I think that's what he does on Pose.
Okay.
So if anybody watches Pose, let us know what we're getting wrong. But yeah, he's the one that kind of introduces the dancers on and the posers on Pose.
Okay. So, what is Pose? I don't even know.
It's a TV show.
Is it like a reality show?
No. It's like a scripted drama. It's like based on the like the New York scene in the 80s where kind of gay and lesbians were doing kind of like pose off dance parties
sure.
type of thing back in the 80s. And it's basically that. It's like it started off in the 80s, but I think the new season takes place in, like, they jumped ahead to the 90s.
Oh.
So it's just basically about that, about, like, sort of the gay and lesbian culture in New York in the 80s and, you know, of course, the AIDS scare and
right.
just the whole gritty scene back in the 80s.
Okay, okay.
But,
cool, cool.
It's gotten a lot of great press, and Billy Porter won an Emmy for it.
Yeah, I remember seeing him at the Emmys, and but if you'd asked me 5 minutes ago, I couldn't have told you what he won for.
Right, so. He won for a pose.
So okay.
Now you know. So, right. yeah, so
congratulations to hey. Billy Porter.
So, yeah, so now he's bringing out the candidates. First candidate, of course, is Cory Booker, played by Chris Redd. Mm-hmm. I like the way Chris Redd plays it because he always has his eyes, like, wide open.
Yeah.
Like Cory Booker does. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Cory Booker takes questions, and somebody presses him on the disparaging remark he made in 92. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to act like I'm avoiding the question, so I'm just going to leave.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
of course, like last episode, he's in and out.
Yeah. I like how they get rid of the candidates who are, like, trailing in the polls. But I like how they get rid of them very quickly, and they don't make any pretense about it.
Yeah. They're just like, we'll just get this guy.
We're going to get one joke with you, and then we're done. And in that vein, we had Colin Jost back as Pete Buttigieg.
Yes.
Mayor Buttigieg. And the line I wrote down was, "You're a great guy, but as a friend, not as a president."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because even Colin as Buttigieg was like, "Why am I not leading in the polls? Like, I'm a vet. I'm gay, and everything I say is everything I say makes sense."
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that pretty much sums it up. Like, people like Buttigieg, but not like want him to be president like him.
I think he's also just one of those guys. He just doesn't have enough of a profile on the national.
Yeah.
Scale yet, you know, he needs some more years under his belt.
Yeah,
probably.
I would say so.
So
yeah, I mean, I don't know.
He's a young guy. It's not the end of his political career.
Yeah, I was absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, Beto O'Rourke is still out there too. And
exactly.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Exactly.
He'll be fine.
Next, we had Kate McKinnon coming out as Elizabeth Warren. Mm-hmm. The line I really liked there, she said, "I'm not a lesbian, but all the ingredients are there," which was like, that was wow.
Yeah,
that was a killer line. And they of course, were playing with, there was like a big viral clip this week where Elizabeth Warren got a question at the real event.
Right.
From somebody saying, like, well, what would you say to somebody who you met on the campaign trail who thought that marriage should only be between a man and a woman? And
right.
she had a great, wonderful response to that, that I, of course, don't have in
right.
front of me right now.
No,
so
we come to this ill prepared, people.
But but they were kind of playing with that and having
right.
like Kate's Elizabeth Warren really do
like
some snapbacks,
slamming him like, let me know what bus you get on because I want to know where you get off.
Right.
Like, oh,
yeah. Honestly, like all the clapbacks that they had her say, I was like, well, none of those are really as good as her actual response.
Yeah, that I mean, too. I noticed that too. I was like, all right, that was fine.
I watched that clip and I was just like, ooh, that guy needs to be admitted to the burn ward.
Yikes. Ooh.
He's, yeah.
Yikes. Third degrees.
Yeah.
And next up, we had some more stunt casting.
More ringers.
That's right. Julian Castro was played by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, who, it took me a second to recognize him because I'm not used to seeing him clean shaven.
Oh yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Used to seeing him like with the goatee.
That is very true.
And for a minute, I was like, "Oh wait, I know that person. Wait, who is that?" And then finally, it's
Hamilton.
Sunk in. Yeah, it snapped into place. So.
Yeah, yeah. And I think like because I remember reading online like around the time when they did the first episode with you know, Kamala Harris, Maya Rudolph. People were saying online a little bit. There was a little bit of a dust up saying like, "Why? Oh, how come SNL doesn't have a Latino man to play Julian Castro for this?" So I think this is their answer to that.
Yeah.
And
bring in a Latino man to
play
him.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And yeah, he had a couple of great lines in there. Like, he did really well. He said, like, to one somebody asked him a question, like, "Oh, as a Democrat, I'd like to apologize for not being gay.
But I promise to do better in the future."
Exactly.
Which totally reminded me of that line from Stripes. When Bill Murray and Harold Ramis are first enlisting in the Army.
Oh, well, I haven't seen Stripes in a while.
And the recruiter says, like, "Are either of you two homosexual?" And keep in mind, this is like 1982.
Yeah.
And I think Bill Murray just goes, "What, you mean flaming?" Or, and he says, No, no, we're not gay. And then Harold Ramis just chimes in. And he's like, but we are willing to learn. And they both just look at the... It's a very funny moment. It's a very funny moment. Maybe probably not a moment you would do in a movie today, but...
No.
But yeah. Very funny. And that line from Julian Castro reminded me of that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah. So. I can see that. And, of course, he called himself Latino Obama. Because he's like, he's not gay, but he's Latino. That's something. Yeah, so, and he had a, he was pretty good. He had a few zingaroos.
Yeah, yeah. And then we had, which I found this a little surprising, we had Woody Harrelson returning as Joe Biden.
Came
from,
back.
From 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little worried about this because, like, I'm wondering, like, if in 2020, like, if Biden does become president, does this mean, like, Woody Harrelson has to come back in?
Yeah, yeah. That's the rule now. If, like, whoever we stunt cast, if they become president, they have to come back.
Like
to SNL every week.
Like the gypsy curse will be passed on.
Exactly.
From...
Exactly. The monkey claw like closes one finger and they have to come back to SNL whenever they're asked to.
Just as the prophecies foretold.
That's right. That's right. And we had Woody Harrelson kissing Alex Moffat as
he did do that, yeah. He got all up in there.
As yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
So a little man on man action starting out the show.
That's right.
So this one, I thought it was an okay opener. It wasn't great.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It's definitely stronger than the last two openings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I liked the. It had better jokes. It was punchier. Mm-hmm. It's definitely out of all the cold openings we've had so far. I think it was the best of them.
Hmm. I might give it to the.
Well, you like the second one better?
No, I think I like the thing on the season premiere a little better than this.
Really?
One. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
No, wait. I'm thinking of the other Democratic debate thing, and that was a sketch. That wasn't an opener. So.
Yeah, that should have been the opener.
We did say that.
Yeah, the first one was the one where...
it was Trump.
Impeachment, and he was calling all the...
Right. I was thinking back to the other Democratic sketch. That's what I meant.
No, as far as Democratic sketches go, I think, yeah, the Kamala Harris one was stronger. Yeah. But this was good. As it all cold opened, this was better, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And, yeah, so we go right into the monologue, and David Harbour comes out.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about, yes, I've done Stranger Things. I was, mm-hmm. you know, Sheriff Hopper. But I've also done other things. I've done Shakespeare in the Park. I can do more. I was in Hellboy.
And it gets a smattering of applause, and David Harbour just goes, oh, that's surprising. Which
he was genuinely surprised about
that. I enjoyed that. It was a nice little self-deprecating moment, because that movie... infamously did not do well.
It did not.
It just, the reviews were pretty harsh and it flopped pretty hard. Mm-hmm. I never saw it myself.
Yeah,
it didn't
me neither.
Look especially interesting to me. Nothing against David Harbour or Hellboy. Right. I like both those things, but
yeah, he's a
somehow it just didn't turn the lever for me.
Yeah, he's a large, affable man, but this movie was just like, eh. It looked eh.
Yeah, and he was like, I don't want to do a Stranger Things monologue. I want to do one of the walking around the studio monologues.
Right.
So he starts that. And then, of course, he immediately comes across the portal to the Upside Down.
Yes, of course.
And he walks through there.
Right. And, so he walks through the Upside Down, and it's like he's backstage. And, of course, he sees A.D. Bryant. He thinks she's Barb.
Right.
Because he's like, no, I'm A.D. And,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, and then he meets Beck, and mm-hmm. he gets taken up by the monster. And I don't know. This one was kind of... I don't know. It's kinda...
They had to do a Stranger Things thing at some point in the show. It would have felt like a weird omission if they didn't, because that's what he's best known for.
That's true. One person that got a big round of applause, Pete. Pete's back.
Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson, he was
Pete
there.
Pete Davidson back in the studio.
Hey!
There and speaking lines.
He's alive.
And yeah.
Yeah, and no need to call his handler, John Mulaney. He's alive and well.
That's right. That's right. It was fun to see Pete.
Yeah.
I kind of missed him. It was
fun. Of course. We all miss Pete.
And then we had, the last gag was, we had Lorne Michaels as like a page behind a desk.
Yes.
And we had Keenan running the show.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, Keenan, you're running the show back here? And he's like, well, but honestly, I'm kind of running the show out there too. You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Keenan's got jokes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, as far as monologues go, I thought it was kind of, I don't know, it wasn't.
It was all right.
It was all right. It wasn't super strong. It was just kind of. A little aimless, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it was all right.
But there's something really exciting for me when during the commercial break they had a quick interstitial.
What?
They're getting ready. They're getting prepped for the first sketch.
Yeah.
And who walks by the camera but our own Joey Mohawk.
What? I missed this.
Joey Mohawk. Yeah, you were saying you missed the beginning of the show.
I think I, yeah, because I
came in a little late.
I was out and about, you know, I was living my life.
Yeah,
and
chasing the dream.
Yeah, chasing the dream. And, like, I came home. I missed, like, the first beginning of it, but then, like, I caught, like, the first sketch, and I guess I miss Joey Mohawk.
Joey Mohawk, he like walks by. This was probably our best look at Joey Mohawk yet. I was very excited. I nearly posted about it on Twitter, but I was like, no, I'll save it for the podcast.
Save that gold for the podcast.
That's right.
But
always fun to see Joey Mohawk.
Yes, oh my God. It's a highlight of any show.
Yeah.
And first sketch, Little Miss Teacher's Friend Pageant.
Yes.
And yeah, this was kind of.
I don't know why they didn't call this teacher's pet, but
yeah, I don't.
That seems like just an obvious.
Is that a derogatory term now? Or like, can we not say?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question.
These days and times, I don't know. I don't know. Gotta be careful.
But basically, it was like a pageant to select who was the best teacher's pet.
Right. Exactly. David Harbour played the principal who was running the show, and they had this one moment where he's like, "Oh, I'm your principal," and then like they cut to Bowen Yang who was in the audience.
Yeah,
he was like going "Woo!" like he was like super happy, and then like the principal just shut him down. He's like, "No, stop it!"
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, "Wow, that's like that's a little running gag."
Yeah.
It just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and. The show was hosted by Adi, who was like the previous year's winner.
Yes, she sees teachers as her peers and children as disgusting.
Mm. And she's doing all the singing intros, and this seems like something they've done this before, where they've done like a pageant thing where Adi's giving like singing introductions to everybody.
Yeah, it was like a cousins pageant,
yeah,
where like,
yeah,
the dude from Game of Thrones was on it, Kit Harington.
Yeah, and I kind of felt like, oh, they just wanted to do a sketch where Adi sings a little bit.
I've noticed. I've been saying that. Like they like sketches where Adi sings a lot. Like,
yeah.
Or maybe
yeah.
Adi just writes like, oh,
maybe
wanna,
she pushes for that.
I
want
to sing.
I don't know.
I got a song in my heart.
Well, we had the various contestants. We had Kate McKinnon as Corinne, or Corinne. I'm not sure how they said it on the show.
Okay.
They had her talk about her most epic tattle. Then we had Melissa as Dina M. We had Chloe as Brittany.
Oh yeah.
And
oh yeah, Brittany gets to do word searches instead of gym class because of her scoliosis, asthma, and religion.
Yeah,
I like that line.
I liked when they paraded the casualties of tattling.
Oh, yeah.
Behind them, and they just had a bunch of guys walk behind.
It's like
them
BJ,
very very quickly.
BJ, RJ, KJ, MJ. Mm-hmm. And Mickey Malsonato, who I do not have a crush on.
Yeah, yeah. And throughout this, we had Ego as the teacher who's very embarrassed by this. And she's like, I want to clarify, I don't consider any of you my friends. You are my students.
Right.
This is not appropriate.
Yeah.
Like, I left you in charge one time when I left the room.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely... I dug it. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is basically a pageant for all the like Martin on the Simpsons.
Yeah.
Martin
yeah.
Prince character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Types.
Yeah. And then at the end, we find out that Ego's teacher character is going on maternity leave, so they're going to have another teacher from like December on.
Right. And so all the teachers' pets are bummed out.
Yeah, they're just horrified.
Yeah.
Because there goes their power.
Yeah, I know.
I thought this was okay. It didn't blow me away. I didn't really. Yeah. Get why it was like first sketch of the night.
Yeah, no, same here. I thought it was okay, but yeah. I mean, compared to the opening, it was like,
yeah, must have gotten a great response in dress rehearsal or something.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, it was fine. It was good, but it wasn't great.
It was fine. But what was great was the next sketch.
Hey now.
Film segment.
Ooh.
With a couple garbage men.
Yeah.
And David Harbour's garbage man, he seems to be in a really bad mood.
Yeah.
And then Chris Redd's character, who has his name tag that says Grover.
That's right. Foreshadowing.
He says, Oscar, why are you so grouchy? And then we find out that this is like a gritty origin film for Oscar the Grouch in the vein of the Joker movie.
Very much so. And then they kind of go through the same beats that you see in the Joker trailer.
The same Zazzy beats.
Oh! I don't know.
Yeah.
Y'all ready for this?
I just heard the word beats, and I was like, yeah. I can make a play on the on her, because her name is Beats.
You see what we did
and
there?
Like, yeah, I could just say her first name before the word Beats, and it says like we're making a reference to. We have fun.
We have fun.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good times.
Good times.
Good times.
Where were we? All right. So, I noticed like when the garage you're speaking to is, I guess, his caseworker.
Yeah.
Ego. You notice her name tag says Susan Robinson, which is, I guess, Susan from Sesame Street.
Oh, okay. And the newscaster was named, that Bowen Yang played, was named Guy Smiley.
Guy Smiley.
And he was like, I'm on the ABC DEFG news network.
Yeah. It hit a lot of the same beats.
That's very cute.
I also liked how some of the characters on Sesame Street are like animals and monsters.
Yeah.
But they didn't make the people up to look like animals and monsters. Like Kenan was Snuffleupagus, but you know, they didn't give him a trunk or nothing. Just give him like a big brown furry pimp coat, and he had
He was a pimp, and he had Prairie Dawn as
his
working girl.
Yeah,
and, I guess we should say
woman of the night.
Yeah, with Chloe dressed up as Prairie Dawn, and
yeah, and I mean the guy, and then they had Heidi as Big Bird, and she was like a stripper, but she just had like a big puffy yellow afro, and whatnot. And of course the scene where Bert and Ernie are in an alley, and Ernie gets stabbed over his rubber ducky.
Yeah, that was.
It was.
They went dark.
It got dark. Yeah.
They went dark. But it was a really great parody. I mean, they really duplicated the look of the Joker movie amazingly.
Yeah. The guy that shot it, like the way they're shooting these like pre-tapes now are pretty incredible. Like
especially when you consider the time frame they do it in, and they went to some of the same locations as the Joker movie. And I understand, a large part of the Joker movie, I believe, was shot in Newark.
Newark and Jersey City. Yeah.
But I was like looking at it and I was like, that's the same staircase from the movie, because I just saw the Joker movie this week.
What do you think of it?
It was all right. I enjoyed it. It's I wouldn't say it's the masterpiece that everyone's clamoring it is, but I didn't feel like I wasted my money.
Okay. All right. I'll give it a shot. But yeah, I think that the part with the stairs, I think that was shot in the Bronx, because I know they shot some stuff in like, you know, basically the ungentrified parts of New York, which
right.
is like the Bronx, Newark, and Jersey City.
Yeah, yeah. But it was really impressive.
That was directed by Paul Briganti.
Uh-huh.
And the sketch was written by Mikey Day and Streeter Seidel from an idea that David Harbour had.
That's incredible. Yeah, Mikey Day like tweeted about that, right?
Yeah, and actually, if you notice, he wasn't really in the show because, according to his tweet, he lost his voice the day of the show. That's rough. Yeah, I mean, if you notice, like he's in that pre-tape, the Joker, but then he's not really in the show at all. That's why.
No, I guess he wasn't. Yeah, he was. I'm trying to think of other stuff he was in, but yeah, they must have had to recast his parts like last minute.
Yeah, probably.
And that's a shame. Throws the show into disarray. Get well soon, Mikey.
Yeah.
So we're pulling for you.
We made fun of you earlier on in the show, like how much you like Moffat, but you know you're. We like you now, so get well soon.
No, we've always liked you.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah,
we have. But this was pretty much a sketch of the night.
This was sketch of the night, I think. Absolutely. Before I came over, I was on my Facebook page, and I've seen like several of my Facebook friends sharing this, and
yeah, this one's blowing up.
It's gonna go viral.
Yeah, this is like this gritty reboot of Sesame Street.
Yeah, and it was a great parody of the Joker movie, and just wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Nicely done.
Melissa Villaseñor as Elmo saying, oh, Elmo didn't sell any drugs.
You're just arresting Elmo because Elmo Mexican. And Melissa, of course, does a killer Elmo voice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. And that Cookie Monster, even the Cookie Monster was just like a homeless guy with like a blue hoodie and like a tarp over him. Like
yeah,
a blue tarp,
and he's just like shoving the cookies into his mouth.
Yeah, messily eating cookies. Like it worked.
They packed a lot in.
They did.
And you know, we have Oscar, David Harbour's Oscar, just like gradually saying like, oh, my life is trash. I'm just going to be trash. And he's like climbing into the garbage can. And It was great. It was very funny. Didn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah, it was good.
That's what you want an SNL sketch to be.
Darn tootin'.
Yep.
Next up, we got Soul Cycle.
Soul Cycle.
Instructor
auditions. Basically, like a bunch of people auditioning to be the instructor in a spin class.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And yeah, so it had Bone Yang as a spin instructor,
yeah.
David Harbour, Heidi Gardner,
yeah.
Kate McKinnon as Kyle, even though she's a girl.
Yeah.
And it was just basically like all of them kind of giving like these one-liners about like, I guess they're all playing in like into stereotypical SoulCycle instructors.
They're all very energetic. They're all saying these motivating things that don't really make sense. Bowen Yang talks about like going back in time and saving Abraham Lincoln. David Harbour's character talked about how he was addicted to cocaine.
Oh yeah. It's like I'm addicted to exercise, also cocaine.
Yeah. Heidi's character was talking about how she was bullied for being too pretty in school.
Yeah.
And you know, like she was called a model, and like I later became a model.
It's like, how do you think that made me feel?
And
good.
Yeah. And Kate's character of Kyle was kicked out of Scientology.
For being too lazy.
Yeah. So it was all right. We also had a weird runner where Ego and Alex Moffat's characters who were there as the people in the spin class.
Right.
It's like he was weirdly hitting on her and she's like not having any of it. I guess that was just to give them something more to play.
Yeah, like there's one point where Alex was like, "Oh," or Ego was like, "Oh yeah, this class is free." Alex said, "Oh wait, they're training instructor testing out instructors here."
And yeah, that's why it was free. And then he says, well, "But then who did I give $80 to?" Yeah.
I was like, "Oh, that's kind of it's kind of funny, but I don't know. This sketch was a little, I want to say all over the place, but
it was a little weird, and it ended like really abruptly.
Yeah.
Where Cecily Strong, who is the person who already works there, says like, "You're all new instructors now, except for you, David Harbour's character. We found cocaine in your bag."
Yeah.
And he's like, "But you looked in my bag, so I guess we're both
fired."
And that was it. That was the end of the sketch.
Yeah, it was kind of an awkward silence, and then they just stopped.
It wasn't much of a punchline. It was very odd.
I mean, he did have one line I liked where he said, "This has been my dream ever since I realized that acting was too hard."
Yeah, that was a good line.
That was a good line. But yeah, I mean, as far as the sketch goes, I think it's one of those sketches where if you've gone to a bunch of SoulCycle classes, it would connect to you more.
Yeah, that's never been a thing I've done, so maybe it didn't speak to me too much. I mean, I got the basic joke,
right.
But...
Yeah, I mean, I shun exercise in all its forms, so yeah, like this didn't do anything.
I mean, this podcast is too active for us.
Ooh, I was about to say, can I take a break?
We are basically spent after an hour of recording this show.
I'm chugging Gatorade in between takes right now.
Yeah, and half of it is like spilling out of his mouth.
I'm pouring it over my head like I won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, but that little grid of color is like filling up with color it does on the Gatorade commercials.
Electrolytes.
Yeah, yeah. It's what plants crave. Mm-hmm. So next we had the musical guest, Camila Cabello.
Yes.
It's spelled like Cabello, but because like the Hispanic name is pronounced Cabello. So I'm always trying to remember to pronounce it properly. She did two numbers. She did the first number, "Cry for Me," and the first one she did like this huge production number. She was all in the, it was this whole Dangerous Liaisons thing.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me like when Madonna did Vogue on the MTV Awards.
Yeah,
it was like that type of vibe. Where it's just like big poofy white wigs.
Yeah, or the Annie Lennox video for "Walking on Broken Glass."
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Remember that with John Malkovich.
Oh yeah,
comes out, brought his own wardrobe from
from Dangerous Liaison.
He did. I learned that from Pop Up Video back in the day.
He really did that?
He did.
Get the fuck out! I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh. What he stole it or he just had it?
It didn't say. It didn't say. I don't know if John Malkovich actually stole his wardrobe or if he just got to keep that jacket somehow. But
I was gonna say, did he house that shit? Did he like? All right.
I don't know.
Does John Malkovich have sticky fingers?
Does John Malkovich steal clothing from all of his movies?
I mean, I would, but I'm just shocked that he does.
I don't think it's that uncommon of a thing in Hollywood, really. But,
yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess I guess that's true. Because I think they just donate the clothes like when they're done with it anyway. So
I know, I believe Chris Pratt stole one of his Star-Lord jackets. But
that was a pretty sweet jacket.
For the best possible reason, so he could wear it when he's like on... making appearances at kids' hospitals for Make-A-Wish or something like that.
Oh, all right, that makes sense.
So I've noticed, a lot of the Marvel people, they seem to have, they're wearing genuine costumes when they make those appearances.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they borrow them from the studio or if they have a set that they can wear for events like that. I don't know. I'm very curious about
that. Interesting. All right, well.
Maybe we should go back to talking about the musical right. performance.
What? Oh, yeah. There's Camila Cabello. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I'm sorry. I got lost in this wormhole.
Yeah, I know. Going. I know. We went down a road, as we do.
We went down a road. So, I mean, as far as Camila Cabello goes, did you know about her before?
I was not familiar with her before.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this was...
So what was your impression?
I wasn't too nuts about her. It wasn't really my thing. It was just kind of club music. A lot of it in the first number seemed to be just she was singing to it like a pre-recorded track.
Yeah, she definitely.
Because I mean, there's nobody playing behind her. It was just her dancers and stuff. And I was like, if you're singing to a pre-recorded track, that kind of takes away from the live performance aspect of it.
Yeah,
it does. I'm really surprised that the show would do that at all after the whole Ashley Simpson thing ages ago,
Oh, yeah. Wow. That was weird. I remember watching that, like, as it happened.
I remember watching that live,
and I was like, oh.
And you're like, what? Whoa, what just happened? Oh, what? Ooh. What the?
Yee.
Awkward. So, I don't know. I mean,
it was fine. I thought it was all right. Yeah, I wasn't, like, blown away by it. I wasn't, like, taken aback. But I was like, okay, that's music.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not what I call music, but it's music.
It's not what I call music 76 or whatever album we're up to now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was like, okay, that was something.
Yeah. Not much to say. It was just kind of, prepackaged pop princess type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not my type of thing personally.
That's right. You're more of a Debbie Gibson man, as we've talked about.
I was down with the Electric Youth.
Yeah.
I mean...
Lost in emotion.
We are so very old.
Yeah, we are.
But, this was the thing that was done.
Yeah, it was a thing that was done.
That was,
Yeah.
But her fans seemed to be very enthusiastic about it on Twitter. They were good. Like, oh, she killed it. She was amazing. She was wonderful.
And hashtag slay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I personally didn't see it, but,
Flame emojis.
I'm a 47-year-old man. It'd be kind of weird if I did see it.
That's right. If it's not Herman's Hermits, we don't care.
That's right. It's a basic rule by which we live our lives.
That's right. It's not Herman's Hermits or the Monkees or...
Yeah.
I don't know. Dan and... Jan and Dean.
Yeah. That's what we're all about.
Mm-hmm.
So next we had Weekend Update with Colin Jost and Michael Che. And they're making the jokes about the news and the stuff and the things that are going on and oh my god, Trump's being impeached and lost five court cases and there's a Fox News poll of 51% that supports impeachment and stuff.
Yeah, and then they made a joke about Giuliani's two cohorts who got arrested.
The Russian accomplices who had one-way tickets to... Where were they going? Was it Switzerland?
Was it?
No, it was probably somewhere more nefarious than that. I forget where.
Transylvania.
Yes, they were going to Transylvania.
Yes.
They are actual vampires.
As we all knew.
And they had been sucking blood, and they were making their getaway.
That's right.
And they had their coffins filled with the fresh earth from Transylvania for the one-way trip.
Clearly, we need Buffy on the case to take these two guys down.
Really? I mean, it's so hard to parody reality at this point. Our reality is so absurd.
It's up is down, left is right, dogs and cats living together.
It is so nuts.
It is. I did like how Che said those two guys look, they look like guys who use vodka as cologne.
That was a good one. I liked Che's thing. He was like, can we just take a year off of presidents? We'll just coast for a while until we get our groove back. And I'm just like, that sounds really appealing.
It would be nice. Yeah.
That would be nice. Because, I mean, it's just.
Just do us for a while.
And it's like even our election cycle is so exhausting because it goes on for literally like 2 years at this point.
Yeah.
And most other countries, it's like a 2-month process.
Yeah.
And I hear about this on the news, and I'm just like, that sounds amazing.
Just 2 months?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah, that sounds...
Most of the other countries, they seem all right, right?
They're doing great.
They're doing okay. They haven't, like, nuked themselves into oblivion.
Yeah, they got, like, healthcare and junk.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. I'd like some of that, please.
Yes, please. They found out how to do recycling correctly and what have you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice? Oh, that'd be beautiful.
But, I was like, that sounds nice. Yeah. I think we should take some time off from precedence and just be by ourselves for a little while as a country. That's when you grow after a relationship ends and you're by yourself for a little while.
Yeah, just walk walk along the beach there at the ocean.
And then you're ready for that new person when they come along, when you least expect it.
Eat,
you know?
Pray, love. That's
exactly.
What we need, right?
Let's just travel around the world like Julia Roberts and
eat exotic
and
foods.
Eat and pray and love. I'm presuming. I haven't seen that movie.
Me neither.
I haven't read that book.
I just saw. Yeah, I heard that term. Yeah, like I saw it on like a piece of wood at a Home Goods in a store. So like I figured
we could go down to Jamaica, wherever, be like Stella, get our groove back.
Yeah,
and you know, hook up with Tay Diggs.
Yeah,
hook up as with a country.
Yes,
I mean
hook up with a young Jamaican man.
Yeah,
yeah, that's that sounds
who
fantastic.
Turns out to be gay in real life.
Wait, he is
Not Tay Diggs, but apparently the guy that he was playing, like the real life guy that the author married, he like later turned out to be gay.
Holy
or
hell!
Realized he was gay or something like that.
Wow!
And,
I didn't know that.
So, how Stella got her groove back is apparently based on a lie.
Well, that's hoo boy! I did not know that. Wow,
I feel very betrayed.
I do too.
I mean, that book was very meaningful to me.
I mean, it helped me get my groove back.
Yeah.
And now I don't.
And now my groove is gone again.
Now we got to eat, pray, love.
And now we got to get a whole new groove.
I know.
We got to get the new groove from the Emperor.
Yes.
And
wow. I like where this riff is going.
Yeah. I don't know where this riff is going.
I want a new groove. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. But anyway, weekend update.
Weekend update. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, people. Heidi came out. Bailey Gismert.
Yes, yes. As a teen movie critic, Bailey Gismert,
yes.
Where everything was awkward and random, and
She plays a great teenager. She's very
She's really good at this. This is a really well observed character. I feel like Heidi must have some nieces or something that she interacts with on a regular basis.
She just studies them and like stares at them.
But
it was good. I mean, she reviewed. What is that? Judy, the new Judy Garland movie.
Right,
saying, oh,
right.
She was so thirsty.
Yeah.
And it was good. And of course, she seemed like she has a crush on the Joker.
Yeah, that was cute.
Because I think like Michael's like, oh, do you have a crush on the Joker?
And she's like, no.
His name's Arthur.
Yeah. And she's like, but if you say something to him,
like
or
I feel
something.
Like I could fix him.
Yeah.
And then, she said things like, look, I know like Leslie's gone, and she was like your wife or whatever,
right.
Michael J. And like I know, like you and the Joker are trying to do comedy. Like she had like a bunch of little kind of ribbings,
digs at Michael there. So that was good. I enjoyed this segment.
I do. Yeah, I'm always happy to see like a Heidi Gardner sort of character piece.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a character of hers that we haven't seen for a while. So.
Been a minute.
So it was fun to see her again.
Absolutely.
Let's see. There were another couple of Che jokes. These were before the Heidi's bit, but I wanted to note them. Where Trump was talking about. Because we had that whole thing with the Kurds and Turkey and Syria this week, and Trump was saying, like, oh, well, we don't want to help them out because they didn't help us out in World War II. And Che said, yeah, it's hard to know what Trump means by us.
What, was that Jost or Che?
You know what? It was probably Jost.
You wanted it to be Che.
It was funny, so I was automatically, unconsciously attributing it to Michael Che.
Wow.
But
wow.
No, I will give the devil its due. That was a Jost line, I believe, or a line that Jost delivered at the very least. But this was definitely Che. They were talking about the possibility of having a gay president because we have a gay man who's campaigning for president, and he says like, well, wait a minute, we've had 45 presidents. There's no way we haven't already had our first gay president. He's like, Lincoln was shot at the theater. That's a pretty gay way to go.
When he said that, I was like, Jesus Christ. was like, oh.
And there are like some historical scholars who think that Lincoln possibly was gay. I think from like letters he wrote or something.
Yeah, cause I think he was in wrestling and like, didn't that... He like share a bed with a man like once or twice.
Probably, but I think there probably wasn't like any sort of social stigma to that at the time.
Yeah, it's like you just get in a bed with a dude. And
yeah,
it's just a good old time. I mean, to stay warm. Those aren't pillows.
Yeah.
But yeah, like when Che told that joke, I was like, oh, you might get into trouble for that one. It seemed a little dicey. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. You think the Lincoln people are going to come after him?
Yes. The Lincoln estate is coming. Driving up in Lincoln's.
Yes. With Lincoln logs in the
Lincoln
trunk.
Logs, yeah. And from Lincoln, Nebraska?
Yes.
There you go.
There we go.
Nice.
We brought it home.
Improv 101.
Yeah.
Hey, yo. But yeah, like that joke was like, ooh.
That was good. That was good. And he also had a joke I really liked where they were talking about, apparently in the news, somebody's trying to get off a new news network for African Americans.
I saw this one, yeah.
And why don't you give the name of the proposed name?
I was wondering if you're going to say this one.
I am not, because I have sense.
The joke was that somebody wants to do like a news network for African Americans or geared towards African Americans, and it would be called the CNN word.
That I heard that, I was like, wow.
And then he looked at Joe, so he's like, oh, you laughed a little too hard at that one.
Yeah. I love seeing Michael just rib calling like that. Yeah, that's fun.
This was banging on all cylinders, this one.
And then we had Pete Davidson come back for a little segment on Weekend Update. He's back from shooting Suicide Squad, or taking a break from
shooting Suicide Squad.
I'm an old prospector. He's back from shooting the sequel to Suicide Squad. There. That is a tongue twister in the making there.
Yeah, yeah.
Many S's.
We got through it, guys.
Yeah. And
he's talking about STDs.
STDs are apparently on the rise with the prevalence of dating apps. So things like chlamydia and are making a comeback.
Yeah, and he said, does everything in my generation have to be a reboot?
Yes, he's like, we had Rambo come back this year and The Clap, and I didn't want either of them back. this was good. Yeah, I just enjoyed his take where it was like, yeah, so they're back. What's the big deal? They're easily curable now.
Yeah.
You just get a shot and you're done with it in 4 days.
Yeah, just...
It's like, you can have the flu for a month, but you can have the clap for like 4 days.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing. I guess you just, like, now you just get like a shot in your junk and you're A-okay.
Do they do it actually in your junk?
I don't know. That seems
like a weird place to give a shot, even if you're having like an I mean, I'm lucky enough that I have never had an STD.
All right. STD free, ladies.
Ladies. just putting it out there, you know. It's all clean and stuff.
Hello, ladies.
It all works okay.
It all works okay. Is that on your dating app?
That is, yeah. That's my headline, just it all works okay.
Thumbs up.
A little shot of my doctor, giving a thumbs up. Clean bill of health. He's got the doctor's thing with the metal disc on.
Oh, the mirror thing?
Yeah. I don't know. What are those called?
Mirror things?
Mirror things, yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's the same guy who gave Trump that clean bill of health.
Yeah.
You know, that weird hippie-ish doctor. Oh, he's like, hey!
Like his own little Nick Riviera?
Yes, yeah.
Hey
Dr.
Back.
Nick!
Wow.
Whoa, but this was cute. I enjoyed this... this segment.
Yeah, I like how he referred to like a busted pipes line in there.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's like, I mean, we can't say any of the cool words.
Yeah. It's like, fine, penis, you child. There, yeah, I said it.
You think busted pipes was my first choice? No.
But I like busted pipes better a little bit.
You know, it's fun because it's very creative.
Yes.
And he also commented on Colin's joke from last week.
Right.
Where he was like, you know, oh, I saw your little thing about me getting a car lost for a week at a musical festival, and I looked it up, and it wasn't me.
Pete.
And then as a closer, he said, you know, Colin, I don't know if you've seen The Joker, but you should start being way nicer to me.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, it worked all the better because, you know, Pete, he's got the
blonde.
The bleach blonde hair, I'm presuming, for the movie role at this point.
I think he just keeps his hair like that now.
I don't know. Well, like, he had it early last season, and then I think he went back to, like, his normal color.
Right.
And,
who knows why.
And, yeah, and he's got, like, very dark circles around his eyes.
Yeah,
he's,
that's true.
He's, you know, he's looking a little rough.
He looks a little ragged, but he always kind of looks like that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he always looks he's got that just rolled out of bed look.
Yes, definitely has a look.
Yeah, but that was cute. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was a good Weekend Update.
Pete knows his lane, and he,
that's right,
he can drive down that lane very nicely.
Plays to his strengths.
Exactly. That is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but a good Weekend Update this year.
Yep.
Next up, PBS Folks of the Past.
Yeah, this was a folk group, Peter, Paula, and Murray.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird name because it's two women and a guy.
I don't think they want you to think about it too much.
Yeah, probably not. So it was David Harbour and Kate and 80 as a folk singing trio.
80 singing again.
Very much in the vein of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Right.
And they're singing this long song about, you know, 5 long years waiting for you, and they're inserting all these other things.
Yeah, these other weird non sequiturs, like it's been 5 years since, like, I've done crack or something. Something like,
yeah.
It was a bunch of weird kind of non sequiturs about, you know, wanting to have a threesome with the other two people in the group.
Yeah, and it comes out like the two women have kissed at some point, like years in the past, and they're still thinking about it, and then...
Yeah, it's... I don't know, this... I wasn't too wild about this sketch.
It was all right, I didn't mind it, it was fine.
I felt like it kind of went on a little too long.
Maybe a little too long.
But they could have shaved it.
Not like 5 long years long. But,
yeah, not 5 year old. I mean, I didn't write any notes about it. Like, I just thought, like, oh, it's like this is... Like, they're just doing the song and... Putting in all these weird kind of sequiturs.
I didn't really take many notes on this either. I just let the song wash over me. It's very soothing.
It is very soothing.
They did an interesting thing in the end because, like, they shot this in black and white to make it look like it was an old PBS show from back in the early 60s. And then at the end, they went from black and white to color as they, you know, they pull out and they're showing the studio.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was an interesting touch. They don't usually break the illusion like that immediately after the sketch.
I thought it was from the 60s, and then they went to color, and I was like, what?
I was so fooled. I was so
What? But, yeah, I mean, I wasn't too wild about the sketch. But
I was fine with it. I didn't mind it being in the show.
All right, but, yeah, it was okay. Yeah. Next up, father-son podcasting microphones.
Yes. This is another film segment with David Harbour and Kyle Mooney as a father and son having trouble communicating.
Right.
So they start up a podcast because the structure gives them a nice way to work on their relationship and talk
So if you're having trouble connecting and talking to your son, there's this kit where it's like literally like two podcast microphones.
Right.
You set it up. And if you notice, it's not plugged into anything. Like, there's not... it's not recording at all.
Oh, I think I missed that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Like, there's no... It's not plugged into any computer or anything. It's just like... It looks like you're, you know, recording and stuff, but you ain't. You're just talking to a guy, but through microphones. And you're able to talk to somebody and get to know them through the power of...
through the medium of podcasting.
I mean, I like this sketch a lot just because, like, I'm a... You know, big podcasting nerd. Of course, I do these.
Yeah.
I do two podcasts, and like I love listening to them. And I do know that like it seems like more and more people are able to sort of get more in depth and talk more and easier, and like more stuff comes out when it's on a podcast.
Yeah,
like you know,
I mean, that's basically the reason we started this podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Was to work on our relationship.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Not many people know this. I'm actually Darren's father.
Yeah. What?
Wait, I'm sorry. Oh, did we not cover that before?
No.
Shit. I didn't mean for you to find out this way. But I'm your dad.
I'm calling my mom. I don't know. This is awkward.
I mean, do we want to unpack this now, or should we talk about this off air?
I mean.
I thought you knew.
No, why would I? No.
I mean, there's this clear resemblance between us.
Well,
you know, we like most of the same SNL sketches.
I mean, yeah, we both don't have hair, but yeah, like,
we both have like very closely cropped beards and bald heads,
smooth
and
skin. Yes. Yeah. All right. You know,
we're
now
similarly nerdy. I mean, you get that from
but
me.
But you're only a few years older than me, so I don't understand how. So
I was a very precocious preschooler.
I got around. Oh my god. Woo!
But no STDs.
Yeah. Oh.
No STDs.
STD free.
Yeah.
It all works.
Yeah.
But yeah, and a few other lines I liked in this sketch is where, like, you know, David Harbour is having a heart to heart with his son about like how they can't connect, and he says like, you know, there's no book you can read on how to be a dad,
right?
And Kyle says, well, yeah, actually there are several.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and of course they have a thing where the microphones, you can raise them up, so like, you know, as your son grows, you can still do it.
Yeah.
And then I think David Harbour says, oh wow, we're 140 episodes in and now you're just almost as tall as your old man.
Right.
And then Kyle says, well, you know, I have been doing a little HGH.
Yes. Yeah.
And
I like how they said that, like, it fills the awkward 3 years until you can both drink together.
Mm. Yeah, very good. Very clever sketch. I like this one.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah. That was good. It was solid. It was enjoyable.
Next one up, the Italian grandma and grandpa sketch.
Yeah, we had David Harbour cross-dressing as Nona.
Yeah.
And then Kate McKinnon as her husband, Marco.
Right.
And their grandkids are over for the day. We had Kyle, we had Cecily and Melissa as the grandkids. And the grandparents are making sauce for the grandkids, but they're getting very frisky.
They're making the sauce.
And making the sauce.
Yeah, they both talk in, like, you know, exaggerated Italian accents.
Yes.
They're making a sauce, and then, like, you know, they talk about the sauce, and then, like, get some brandy, and then...
They're getting very sexual with each other, which is disturbing their grandkids to no end.
Yes. And me a little bit, if I have to say.
Ooh, well,
it was.
Okay.
I mean, it was just like... It was
you know,
a lot.
Kate McKinnon seems to really enjoy playing these strangely sexual characters.
Yeah.
She seems to go to this well, like, a fair amount. And she's very good at it.
Yeah, she's good.
And it was just funny just because of the size contrast between David Harbour and Kate McKinnon. Because, like, David Harbour's like this...
He's a massive man.
He's a big guy, a big tall guy.
He's a big galoot.
And Kate... has never looked like a more of a wee thing than in this sketch.
Yeah, like when I saw them together, I was like, how tall is Kate? I thought she was like average height.
And yeah.
Compared to David, she was like a little fella.
I think she shrunk herself to like 5'2" for this sketch.
They have a shrinking machine
Lawrence got everything in his office.
Hank Pym worked at SNL Studios. I don't know if
that's
you guys
knew
that.
That's true.
That's like probably the nerdiest thing I've ever said on this podcast.
That's right. That was a deep cut there.
Yeah.
Not as deep of a cut as it was a few years ago, but...
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. What do you think of this sketch? It was like...
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it just for the sheer amount that David and Kate threw themselves into it. I just thought that made it fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely like one of those sketches where it's just like super silly and just watch them go. I mean, David was game, Kate was...
I mean, this was one where the performances made the sketch.
Yes.
I mean, if I was just looking at the script of this sketch, I don't know if I'd think much of it, but this was just fun, and it was just fun. You know, come on, it's Kate McKinnon mounting somebody. How can you not get a kick out of that?
A lot of mounting. There was at one point, I think Kate had like a finger full of the sauce or gravy, depending on
putting the finger in.
Yeah, she was like ramming the sauce covered fingers down his throat,
and you see David Harbour like starting to break.
Yeah,
and
it was oof. And then of course, like, he just, you know, grabs Kate and like knocks all the plates and glasses off the table, and it just
about to ravage her.
Yeah,
or him.
Yeah,
she's playing a male character.
Person.
And she's, yeah,
I know, gender's fluid, people.
And the grandkids get really creeped out, and they're like, okay, we'll come back later.
when
the sauce is ready. And
sauce or gravy, depending on who you ask.
Yeah, it's consistently referred to as sauce throughout this.
But I just know, like, some of my
Italian, I think that's the final word, right?
I think so. I know some of my Italian friends like, no, it's called gravy. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, that's always seemed odd to me. But I'm not Italian, so I can't say.
Whatever. It's not my fight.
I can't, exactly.
And final sketch of the evening, Dog Court.
Dog Court with Judge Connie Schomburg with Cecily Strong in a dog park.
Yes.
Judging cases involving dogs.
And we have, of course... live animals, dogs.
Live dogs.
So whenever you work with live animals.
I am a sucker for whenever SNL uses live dogs in a sketch.
Really?
I love it every time. Like the sketch they did probably a year or two ago at this point with it was when Sam Rockwell was hosting a couple years ago, and they gave the dog human hands.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the dog eating the sandwich. And then like a year or two before that where... Scarlett Johansson had invented the helmet to read the dog's thoughts.
Yeah, and the dog was with a Trump supporter.
Yeah, and she's horrified by that, and he's like getting very insulting with her. Both of those I love. Those are some of my favorite recent SNL sketches.
Yeah, when you get a dog, when you get one dog in a sketch, it's, you know, you got
this
be
was an embarrassment of riches. We just had
so
a cornucopia of dogs.
Oh, so many dogs. So basically, it's a courtroom that takes place in a dog park, and. Mm-hmm. Dog owners have beef with other dog owners, and the judge rules what should be done.
Yeah, yeah.
And Yeah, it was pretty bonkers.
We had a dog jury. There was a dog jury box just filled with dogs.
Right. There was one dog doing courtroom sketches, and she held a picture up of Cecily as a judge.
Yeah, and she's like, "It doesn't look like me, but what the hell? You're a dog."
Yeah. I think at one point one of the jury sentences one of the guys to death.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, yes. It's rough, but yeah, what can I say? And of course, at one point, Cecily was holding a pug, and the pug was just trying to squirm out of Cecily's nuts
like on Kate on Cecily's face,
just like walking all over her face trying to get out, and
Cecily is just like so close to breaking. I mean, she's just understandably so. And it was, and the funny thing was, I didn't even notice this my first watch. I didn't notice this until I rewatched this sketch. Her dialogue is about, "Oh, well, you should be so lucky. My dog is crippled and can't even go to the dog park. And meanwhile, this pug is just going nuts."
Yeah.
And obviously not a crippled dog. But, honestly, if this became a regular thing, if we just had like 5 minutes at the end of the show of just Cecily Strong playing with pugs, I would be there for that.
Why isn't that on her Instagram account? I would watch that all the day.
I want this. I just, like, you know, you have Cecily Strong, you have dogs. I mean, how can you go wrong?
SNL, this is a million-dollar idea. And
I want a weekly segment, Cecily Strong plays with pugs.
This sounds fantastic.
They don't even have to be pugs. Any dogs. Yeah. It's Cecily's choice. She is obviously a dog person. She's like playing with her dog in the opening credits.
Yeah, that's right. She's a dog. Yeah.
She's a dog person. I looked at her Instagram this morning to see if she posted anything about this sketch, and I think her Instagram bio, it starts out like dogs rule. So she's obviously a hardcore dog person.
I mean, I do enjoy a good cat, but I got to admit, dogs are pretty dope.
Dogs got all over cats.
That's it.
I'm taking a stand.
Ooh.
I am taking a stand.
Pro dog,
pro Cecily Strong, pro Cecily Strong with dogs.
Wow.
That is all I need.
That's the hill you're going
to
die
to
on.
Be. Yeah.
I respect that.
I want this a regular thing. If anyone from the SNL production team is listening to me, give us more Cecily Strong with dogs.
Yes.
This is what I want. This is what I need.
Strong with dogs.
Strong with dogs. Strong with dogs. Strong with dogs.
Oh, we're so silly.
So, that was the show.
That was the show.
That was the show.
Not too shabby, and it was a pretty good, pretty fantastic show.
Fantastic! Wow.
I mean, I would say out of the three shows we've seen so far this season, this might be the strongest.
I think this was a pretty solid show. I might be hard pressed to decide between last week and this week's overall. I think this one was kind of slow to get going, but it did some good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Oscar, I think that's an instant classic.
Yeah, the Oscar thing was fantastic. I liked the father-son podcasting. I liked
that was good.
I liked, of course, the cold open. I thought was pretty strong. Mm-hmm.
You liked that more than I did.
Yeah. I did.
Pete Davidson's segment on Weekend Update.
Yeah,
was
Weekend
good.
Update was this. Like, Weekend Update was stronger.
And again, Cecily Strong with pugs.
Me guys,
come on. And if. When I get home, I want there to be like a half dozen GIFs of that moment for me to choose from to like start posting on social media.
There already are some.
There are?
Yeah.
Cecily with
the
pugs
squirming out. Yeah, if you go on like Giphy.com, there's like
awesome.
There's three or four. I think I tweeted.
Well done, internet.
I think I tweeted out one of them.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Yes. The internet's just working overtime to make us happy.
But make
our lives better.
Okay, well, we'll be looking those up. The show is going to be coming back October 26th with host and musical guest Chance the Rapper. So
yes, that's October 26th.
Yep, the 26th.
Oh, and I also tweeted out that we were taping today's episode. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do we get from that?
Well, we got from Adam Hughes, at Adam Hughes, mm-hmm. The Grouch movie trailer was the hardest I've laughed so far this season. And then Manette Moradi said that the costume department deserved a lot of praise for making the costumes in that sketch. Yeah, it's very, very true. I thought the costumes in that sketch were pretty dope.
Yeah.
Oh, and Casey Killingsworth just tweeted us. Strongest episode of the season so far. Harbor as a host was thoroughly professional and really added a much-needed strong energy to the show as a whole.
Nice.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what we got. And, that's what we got. And, we also got, like, a new review.
We got a new review on the podcast.
Yay.
app, the Apple Podcasts. This was left on Tuesday by Destroyer76. The headline is, it's a five-star review. Thank you very much for that. It says, great and free.
Yay!
It says, great discussion on SNL, unsubbed from a different SNL podcast once they started charging money to hear their full podcast this season. Glad I found this one. Nice job, guys.
Thanks, you.
So thank you very much for
that.
Thanks,
Destroyer.
Yeah.
We're great and free.
We're great and free, but you can send us money if you so desire. We do have a Patreon.
Right.
You can go to non-productive.com and donate to the Patreon there and then indicate that you're donating to the SNL nerds.
Yeah, throw some a few shekels, a few simoleons.
Yeah, salt wheels.
Salt wheels.
Yeah.
Is that's a form of currency?
Yeah? I think that's an obsolete form of currency. I thought that was what we were
doing. That was a deep cut. I had no idea. All right. Okay. Give some salt wheels. We'll find a way to make that money.
That's right. That's right. And we'll give you a shout out on the show.
Absolutely.
And you will get like a little bit of bonus content because you know, occasionally we talk when the mics are on, but we're not officially recording the podcast yet, and we say some semi-entertaining things sometimes.
Semi?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I don't want to oversell it.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
And if you want to follow us, we're on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible. I got some shows coming up this
Wednesday. Okay, let's hear about it.
This Wednesday I'll be in Montclair, New Jersey at the Comedy and Prozac Show at Claire Story Fine Art. It's an art gallery, BYOB, $10 cover. Sunday, October 20th, I'll be in Asbury Park at the Asbury Park Brewery at the Bruja 2 show, a show where they have like 50-plus comedians come up and tell one joke.
Ooh.
So if you want to come out to Asbury Park and see me tell a joke and, and get have many Asbury Parkian beers.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, come out to that.
That sounds like a fun evening.
Yeah, and it's a fundraiser, too, so the money will go to a good cause. I believe there's somebody who has like some type of illness that we're donating the money to. So, what?
I just love that you didn't know the illness.
No, I know it. I'll look it up. I should have
written
it down.
I'll look it up. I don't think you know it.
So maybe I don't know it, but I know somebody has an illness. I did that much look into it. And
it's not actually a charity for an illness. It's just like some guy, he's like trying to get money for a new ping pong table.
Yeah. Somebody had the sniffles, I think. And they just, you know, they got to buy some Dristan or whatever.
Right, right.
So that's what it's for. And I'll find it. And on Wednesday, October 30th, I'll be in at Monty Hall in Jersey City, New Jersey. I'm on some show, the 7-Second Delay Stand-Up Comedy Mischief Night.
Oh.
It's for WFMU. I think it's like a little contest.
Oh, nice. I like WFMU.
Yeah. So come.
Cool station.
Come out for that.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Trumbull Comic. Don't have any shows to plug right now, but I will next weekend be at the Baltimore Comic Con.
Woo!
And I'll be wandering around there. You can come see me there. I'm actually moderating three panels. I'm moderating a panel with Howard Chaykin, one with Ty Templeton, and one with Ron Mars and Daryl Banks. We're going to be talking about their revamp of Green Lantern 25 years ago.
Oh,
so if you're a comic person and you know those names, come see me and come say hi after the panels. So that'll be fun. And then besides that, I'll just be wandering around hobnobbing, networking, and doing all the fun stuff you do at a Comic-Con.
That's right. So if you're in the Baltimore area, go come and look out for your boy.
Yeah, it's at the Baltimore Convention Center, and you can probably still get tickets, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. Oh, and we should mention, since the new episode of SNL with Chance the Rapper, musical guesting and musical hosting, comes out the 26th, we're going to have an off week. And we're gonna do an episode on that off week.
We are. Is it just the one off week? I guess it is.
Yeah.
Let me look at my calendar. Yeah, it is just one off week. So we talked about it. We're gonna do another SNL related movie.
And, yeah, we are.
But John and Darren, you're saying, what SNL related movie is left for you to talk about? What could it be? You've covered all the spinoff things. You did Animal House. You did the other things that you did, and but we got a good one for you.
We do.
We are going to cover The Ruddles. All You Need Is Cash.
Yeah.
The classic Beatles parody that Eric Idle and Neil Innes did that started out as a segment on SNL.
Yeah, was a made for TV movie. Came out in '78. I remember seeing this and was kind of confused by it because it looked like it was like a Monty Python thing, but it wasn't. And mm-hmm. it looked like it might have been a SNL thing, but it wasn't. So I was like, what is this?
But it was written by Idol, so it's got that Python sensibility.
Right.
Neil Innes, who did the songs, these perfect Beatles parodies, he's worked with the Pythons. He's in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. He's the minstrel with Sir Robin. And this movie, if you've never seen it, it was produced by Lorne Michaels, and it's got a lot of the original SNL cast in it. We got John Belushi, we got Bill Murray the K, we got
Gilda
Radner, we got Franken and Davis. We got, I think, Aykroyd's in there somewhere.
Aykroyd was in it. Yeah. He was like the member that like left the group or before they became.
Yeah, something like that. But we love this movie. We're looking forward to talking about it. So it's going to be fun to watch and revisit. So tune in for that.
Uh huh.
So I think that's about it. We plugged everything, right? We plugged. We did the review. We talked about the Twitter. Follow us on the Twitter. Contribute to the Patreon.
We did that.
Leave us a review.
And
show is next week. What we're doing on the skip week. What the shows we got coming up. The Comic-Con. The charity for some undefined illness.
I'm fine.
You're still trying to look up.
I think somebody has like cancer. I think.
This is not making you look good.
I'm so
man.
Sorry. This is so embarrassing.
I think somebody has cancer. I think they should just put that on the posters.
No, somebody has something. I know. Either way, it's a free.
Somebody has something.
Either way, it's a free show. Come out, Asbury Park, and we'll tell you.
And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this started out with Darren saying, "I know what it is." Insisting, he said, "I know what the disease is. Let me look it up."
All right.
Rewind and listen to that. That is what he said.
You know what? I did say that.
All right.
And I don't know. But somebody has some type of sickness, and so you can come out and support that. Not support it, but like donate for it.
I am so ashamed of you right
Just,
now.
You know, you guys don't come. I have
no son.
I'm sorry, Dad.
I have no son.
I just want to make you proud of me.
Anyway. We will see you next week. Until then,
nerds
out.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.